And turn with me to the 16th chapter of the Gospel of John. We're going to focus on verses 1 through 16 today. I want to talk to you today about the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, being the third person of the Trinity, is the most misunderstood person in the Trinity. There's a lot of misconception, misunderstanding, and just complete lack of teaching and understanding about how this Holy Spirit functions. And obviously, I'm not going to be able to cover all of the aspects of that in one message. That would be a pretty big task. And if I did, we'd be here yet tonight. But we are going to start into this, and then here's what I want you to do. I want you to prepare yourselves for next Sunday. Next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday.
Yeah.
And so I'm not completely sure what I'm going to do as far as a message yet, but God has me stirred up. I believe there is going to be an outpouring next Sunday in our service. It's something that God's stirring up in me, and we're going to give God opportunity to do that. The message I preach probably will be abbreviated because we're going to allow, intentionally allow time at the end of the service for an altar call for people who want more of God. Who, okay, you're saved, but you want more of God. Okay? So that's the way it's looking right now. And what I want you all to do is this week, pray, maybe even fast, I don't know, whatever God leads you, but prepare yourselves to meet with God in a very significant way next weekend. And we're going to believe God for an outpouring in our service. I believe there are going to be people that leave here that are baptized in the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit, that were not before. I believe that's going to happen in our service next week. So this message today is intentional to lay a little bit of groundwork for next weekend, all right? Okay, beginning to read in the first verse of John 16. All this I have told you so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asked me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In a little while, you will see me no more. And then after a little while, you will see me. Let's pray. Father, we just pray that Lord, you will watch over your word to perform it as we delve into your word for the next 40, 45 minutes. We just pray in Jesus' name that our hearts will be open and receptive, and that our minds will be open and receptive for what you will speak to us today through your word by the power of your Spirit. I pray also, Lord, that you'll hide me behind the cross of Calvary as I bring forth this message. Pray that you put a watch on my mouth, that I would only speak the words that you have ordained for today, not a word more, a word less, and all of it to glorify you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. In John 14, verses 15 through 17, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." And this is where an issue comes in with people who say they love God, but yet when you examine the fruit, it speaks a whole different word than the fact that they love God. When we look at the repetitious disobedience in people's lives, I'm not talking about falling down sometimes and blowing it. Everybody blows it sometimes. But talking about patterns of sin that go on, there's a problem with that confession. Because Jesus said, made it clear, I just read it, if you love me, you will do what I command. It's as simple as that. That's why I have issue when politicians, because they want Christians to vote for them, will stand and say how much they love God. But when you look at their policies and you look at what the way they live their lives and the things that they do, it speaks a whole lot louder and speaks a whole different message about what's going on in that person. Can I preach today? It drives me crazy when I see evangelical people voting for evil people. Yes. There is a problem with that evangelical person's heart, and they better get it straight before Jesus Christ returns for them.
That's right.
And that's fact. I do feel like preaching today. So if you love me, Jesus says, you will obey what I command. And then he goes on to say, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. See, he was living, the Spirit of God was living with the disciples as they wandered around with Jesus in his 3.5 years of ministry. The Spirit was with them. But what you see here is an alluding to what was going to happen on what has become known as Pentecost, when the Spirit of God came and indwelled people. See, before Pentecost, the Spirit of God would, for lack of better terminology, jump on a prophet, he would prophesy, and then the Spirit of God jump off again. The Spirit of God rested on people that God used greatly and gave his Spirit, but the Spirit of God did not reside in them moment after moment, day by day, year by year. See, it was a different impartation of the Spirit than what has been since Pentecost. Am I making sense to you this morning?
Yeah.
A lot of people don't understand that. It was a different kind of impartation. Am I saying that the Spirit of God wasn't moving through? Oh, yeah. Big time. The Spirit of God was moving. But it was different. It's why Jesus made this statement. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Future. Pointing ahead to Pentecost, when the Spirit of God was poured out and came in people. Lord, I am so thankful for the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I don't know where I would be without the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Because even with the conviction of the Holy Spirit, from time to time, I still do stupid stuff. Can somebody help me preach? Give me a witness. I'm not proud of that, but let's face it. We are sinners saved by grace. We are. If we could do it all in our own strength and be good enough, then we didn't need Jesus, and he died in vain. And we all know that that didn't happen. He died for a reason, because all sin and fall short of the glory of God, according to Romans 3:23. And Romans 6:23 went on to say, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." So we had a sin problem, and God provided a remedy in his wisdom. And then along with that remedy, then after Jesus came here and paid the price for sin, did everything that was required for him to be the sacrificial lamb, then he ascended to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit to indwell us. And my friends, that's powerful. The Holy Spirit indwelling us is powerful. I dare say at least most of us here today, maybe all of us, have not really tapped into the power of the Spirit that is all available to us. Because see, we got this sin problem and we got this mind problem. We spend too much time thinking and not enough time believing. See, when we get thinking about it, we say, when God calls us to do something, well, I can't do that. And immediately we're defeated and Satan's sitting there with his hand on his knee and laughing. But see, when we operate and the Holy Spirit gives the Holy Spirit free reign, then through the power of God, through the Spirit that indwells us, we can do what God called us to do. Whatever it is. Whatever it is God calls us to do. He will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. Can I talk about crooked politicians again? I see too many that have said, because of convenience and because they want the Christian vote, say a lot of things. And when you look at their lives, the truth is not in them. And see, everyone that is born again is baptized into the Holy Spirit. You get that? Everyone who is born again. What makes you born again is you are baptized into the Holy Spirit. But that's not it. Then there is still to be sought to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I was baptized into the Holy Spirit at the moment that I opened my heart to Jesus Christ. At the moment. Okay? And I began to change. But exactly 7 days later, 1 week later, my pastor sat down with me and explained to me about being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And, hey, I'd only been a believer for 7 days, and before that, I was a drug addict and alcoholic. And many other things. So all I did was look at it and say, he showed me the word. And I said, whoa, if that's something I ought to have to help me live in this world, I want that.
Amen.
See, I hadn't been indoctrinated against it. It was the first time I'd heard about it. But see, I've been born again for 7 days and I could already tell God had locked baptism of the Holy Spirit, being baptized with the Holy Spirit. I said, yeah, I want that. And he prayed with me, and boom! I started gushing. Tongues started flowing out of me. The gift of tongues just began to flow out of me. I'd only been saved for 7 days. I went home, my wife thought I was crazy. And she was a little bit mad. Because she'd been praying for that gift for a long time, and she hadn't gotten it. And I just got saved 7 days before, and I come home, and I'm laughing hilariously and muttering in tongues. And then I'm crying because I got reminded of something else I got to repent for. So I'm going from crying to laughing, and then I'm bubbling over with tongues flowing out of me. And she was like, my gosh, is this what I was praying for him for? Is this really what I wanted? I think he might be unstable. But it didn't take long for her to see that it was real. And more people that knew me began to see that the change was real. Oh, it's a process. Sanctification is a process. So I still had issues I was working through, but it was amazing just walking out day by day with God, walking out this life, and now it's been almost 4 decades. And I love Him just as much or more now as I did the moment I met Him. The Holy Spirit has been given to empower us to navigate this dark world and do it successfully. Not success according to the world's standards, but success according to God's standards, what God calls success. Do you know what God calls success? Total and complete obedience to Him. That is success, my friends. Because if He is truly Lord and Savior of our lives, then He is directing our steps. See, the Word of God says that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. That's what the Word of God tells us. Are you getting this? Okay, in verse 8 of our text, it says that the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin, or you could use the word convince. All of us, before we come to the place where we get born again, have to come to the place where we admit we are sinners, that every one of us falls short of the glory of God. That's the first step that has to happen. And it's the Holy Spirit that brings us to that place and convicts us of sin. Sometimes it happens through a preacher. It can happen anyway. However, it can happen through a dream He gives you in the middle of the night. It can happen while you're driving down the road and all of a sudden the Lord whispers something right in here, still small voice. It can happen anywhere, but the Holy Spirit brings conviction and makes us understand, oh my Lord, I'm a sinner. And if I die right now, I'm surely going to go to hell. Because I don't have Jesus. So the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. Conviction is good. It's condemnation that is bad. It says in Romans 8:1, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. It's a direct quote. Because see, condemnation is bad. It's not good to be condemned. It also says that a person who has rejected Christ stands condemned already. So condemnation is bad, and anyone and everyone who is not in Christ is condemned. Condemned to what? Condemned to death.
for conviction because conviction convicts us so that we turn to God. And conviction is designed by God to bring us to repentance. And the Holy Spirit does this work. When it speaks of the world, convicting the world, it's the world is sinners. The world's full of sinners. The men of the world, all men are by nature sinners, and the term the world can be applied to them all. In John 1, Gospel of John 1, verse 10, it says, He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. Even though the world was made through Jesus. Remember John? Gospel of John 1:1. In the beginning was the
Word.
Help me out. Finish it. Amen. All things that have been made were made by Him. And Him in Him was the light of men. Right? So He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. Darwinism. We've allowed it to be taught in this nation for decades to our children in the public school system. Darwinism is a lie. Out of the pit of hell. So the Big Bang Theory, it contradicts. It contradicts what the Word of God tells us that God spoke and it was. God spoke and it was. God spoke and it was. God spoke. Until it came to man. When it came to man, He did not speak it. When it came to man, He fashioned man with His own hands out of the dust of the earth. And then He personally breathed life, pneuma, into man. He breathed the breath that is in us into every one of us. So in our text, it makes it abundantly clear that He convicts of sin in verse 8. Verse 9. The first thing He specified is that we would be convinced what sin is. Sin is generally... In general, is any violation of the law of God. In general, in layman's terms, sin is any violation of the law of God. What God has said, don't do, don't touch. If we go ahead and do any of those things, that is sin. The particular sin of which men are here in this text said to be guilty of and that they're convinced of is the fact that they've been rejecting the Lord Jesus. It is sin to reject the Lord Jesus. He died for us in our place. I rejected Him until I was 25 years old. I rejected Him. Says in the Word of God that anyone who is not with Christ is against Him.
So that clears it up for the person that says, well, I know, I'll just avoid it, and I won't make a decision either way. Then I'm not getting, no, that ain't going to work. Jesus said, if you're not with me, you're against me. So it was their rejection of the Son of God that was made the great truth that was instrumental in their conversion. He said in Zechariah 3:10, he said, and they will look upon me whom they have pierced and mourn. That comes from Zechariah 3:10. I remember when I got a revelation. I mean, I got a revelation. I mean, it hit me for the first time. It was after I was born again. And I was just sitting before God listening to Him. And all of a sudden, it had to be the Holy Spirit. Because all of a sudden, it hit me. Personally, the reality of the fact that Jesus did all that for me. I mean, the reality of that just hit me. All of a sudden, yeah, I've heard that countless times, and I accepted that, but it hit me, the magnitude of the price that Jesus paid for my salvation. For the first time, I internalized it. And it made me sit there and weep before God. Because I'm just here to tell you, no one else has ever given their life to save mine. No one's ever done that. In a sense, for those of you who are in the military, Jesus jumped on the grenade. He jumped on the grenade that was lobbed into the foxhole to save all of us. See, we got to personalize it. Because when we get that revelation, then that compels us, that moves us to love Him all the more. And then if we love Him, He said, you'll obey what I command. Not because you're scared to death of me, but because you love me, you'll obey what I command. Not that we don't need a healthy, reverential fear of God. Right? We do. That's another message. That's something that's been lost in our culture. Believers have become too familiar with God. You understand what I'm saying? And because of that, it's like, you know, did you ever have anybody's kids over for the first time? And the parents did. Now, you behave and they lay down the law and you be good for these people. And they were model children the first time you had them. And after 2, 3, 4 times, they start testing you. Things start changing. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
Because they start getting familiar with you. And if we're not careful and we get too familiar with God, we tend to ignore the nudging of the Holy Spirit which indwells us. And we test the system a little bit. Well, I got away with that. I didn't die. I'm sure that's what Adam and Eve did. They took of the forbidden fruit and took a bite. And, well, I guess the serpent's right. I'm still here. Right? And then I'm down the slippery slope. In verse 10, convict us of righteousness. It says, convict us of righteousness. What in the world is that talking about? How can I be convicted of righteousness? Well, let me explain. It's talking about convicting us of Jesus' righteousness and innocence. Convicting us of that. There are many people that have written all kinds of things and made all kinds of proclamations that Jesus sinned. Him and Mary Magdalene and all kinds of other things. It's wrong. Jesus lived a sinless life on this earth. It's the only way that he qualified to be Savior. If he had sinned even one time, he would not have been qualified to be the sacrificial lamb for the world. One sin would have disqualified him. So he had to be truly righteous. You know what righteous means? Always right. Righteous means always right. Without fail, always right. That's what righteous is. Our God is righteous because he is always right. Every time. Jesus was going to be arraigned on heavy charges and condemned by the highest authority of the nation as guilty. Yet, though condemned, he says that the Holy Spirit would descend and convince the world that he was innocent. Convicted of his righteousness means we accept the fact that he is the sacrificial lamb, that he truly lived like he is righteousness. That he is righteousness. He embodies righteousness for us because we're not able in and of ourselves to be righteous. Jesus clothes us with a robe of righteousness. The covering of his blood is the robe of righteousness. I know I'm going through this stuff pretty fast, but that clock isn't slowing down for me. And he says, because I go to the Father, he says, I'll send you. I'm not going to leave you all down here like vagabonds, hopeless. I'm going to send another counselor. And he's going to lead you into all truth. Did you know if you learn to hear the Holy Spirit, he will prompt you about what's true and what's not. He gives us discernment. There are times you'll hear things, if you're listening, and you learn to adhere to and listen to that still small voice of the Holy Spirit in you, there will be times that you'll get a when something is said, and you just know that's not right. That's not right. And so when people are on television flapping their mouths about what they have done and are going to do. Yeah, I'm talking about politicians. You should be able to discern. The Word of God makes it abundantly clear. He gave us another counselor to lead us, to give us discernment, to lead us into all truth. But as I have been in this walk with Christ now for nearly four decades, I have seen a whole lot of people that profess to be Christians, and the decisions that they make in the way they vote is absolutely absurd. Yes. And I'm not talking about the difference necessarily between Democrat or GOP. I'm talking about
putting your mark down for a person that you see the evidence that they are godless, they are liars. And my friends, everyone will be held accountable that has voted for people that are godless. When we have a better choice, when we put our stamp of approval on someone that thinks it's fine to abort babies and even kill them after they're born. If you decide it's the wrong, well, you can't even say the wrong sex because that's wrong now. Well, I still say it, but I'm talking about what's politically correct. See, I don't really care about being politically correct. I really couldn't care less. I want to be biblically correct. Because, see, we're living in a day where if the body of Christ don't stand up, we are headed for horrible, horrible things in this nation. It's time for the body of Christ to stand up. Our God can be God all by himself. Yes. And you know, I shared with you, God spoke to me and I know how this thing's going to be. Yes. Just so you know, you're still on board with me. This thing is going to flip. Yes. God's just biding his time and he's going to trump everything. I got a few smiles. Because God is not going to allow this nation that was raised up to police and be the light of the world snatched away by the evil cabal. He is not going to let it happen. Now, does that mean we're not going to go through some hard times? Yes, we are, because we are a horribly sinful nation. And we're going to pay for that. But God's not done with this nation. And the Holy Spirit in me bears witness. When Jesus said, "Because I go to the Father," what he was apparently referring to is he rose again from the dead and he went back to the Father. See, that certifies that he was the real deal, because God would not have raised him from the dead if he was a fake. It wouldn't have happened. He was the fulfillment of prophecy by many major prophets, strewn all through Isaiah and Zechariah, and I mean all the prophecies of Christ that were spoken years before. He was the fulfillment of them. And that should convict people that Jesus is the one. He's the only one. He said in John 14, verse 6, he said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." He's not one of the ways. He is the only way. Exclusive. He is the only and the exclusive way. He said, "You'll see me no more for a while." We're in that season right now where you'll see me no more for a while. But the good news is, he then said, "But I'm coming back." So I'm conditioning myself to look regularly to the eastern sky. Because when that trumpet blows, it's going to be good. But we've got to live in this span of time where you'll see me no more. We got to get through this.
And that's why he gave us the power of the Holy Spirit to indwell us, to direct us, to shape us into the people that he created to be. And to be submitted to the Holy Spirit that indwells us so that we fulfill God's will for our lives. And so that we fulfill God's will in each body of believers. The church. In verse 11, the Holy Spirit's going to convict of judgment. In other words, he convicts us that God is just and that God will execute judgment. Because he is just. If God didn't judge what is going on in the earth, let's narrow that down. If God didn't judge what is happening in this nation, then he would not be just. So he's going to, and he is. He's judging this nation. But it's a good thing because it will sweep people in through an awakening that comes by the power of the Spirit and through conviction that comes by the Spirit. So it's a good thing. We want conviction instead of condemnation. There is no hope for a person that is condemned unless they turn to Christ. Christ is the only hope to move from condemnation into life. I'm trying to go fast. Talks about the prince of this world, Satan. The death of Christ was a judgment or a condemnation of Satan. In his struggle, Jesus gained the victory and subdued the great enemy of man, Satan himself, Lucifer. That is very, very good news, guys. We have victory over Satan in Christ. We are overcomers. My friends, you guys are overcomers. I am an overcomer. We will go through.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that means we're going to go through some stuff, and we have gone through some stuff. But the good news is, in Christ, we're going to go through, and we're going to come out the other side victorious. Yes, give God praise. So all this is deeply felt by the convicted sinner. He knows that he is guilty. He learns that God is just. He fears that he will condemn him, and he trembles in the apprehension of approaching condemnation. So if I could put three words into what we're talking about here, and what we need right now in this time, because we need a major move of God in our nation and in the world.
Amen.
And what we see as we go through all of this is three words that come to the surface. First one is he awakens. He awakens. Those of you who've been here at this church for a long time, you know a couple of years God spoke to me about he's going to bring an awakening. You may not even realize it, but it's starting. Out in California, there are revivals, tent revivals that are taking place, and people are getting saved and healed in droves. In California, did you hear what I said? I got to confess, for years I've called that the land of the fruits and nuts. I have. And now I look at it and I say, oh Lord, you're awesome. We just want an awakening that sweeps this land. If you want to start in California, that's great. I think they needed more help than we do in the Midwest anyway.
Yeah.
we're not far from perfect. We're all messed up. Gosh, John, you might have to clean some of this up. Before it goes on the internet, brother. I'm just rolling in the Holy Ghost. Is that all right with all of you?
Yes.
Somebody's got to tell the truth.
That's right.
Somebody's got to say it. Now, I guess here today, So the Holy Spirit awakens. That's our first word. Second word is convinces.
Yes.
And the third word is He renews. He renews us. And as we go through the process of sanctification, we are being renewed to what God's original intent was for us. Isn't that great news? Don't you want to be renewed? Don't you want to be saved and cleansed and renewed? You see, He's going to renew the earth. See, there's a new Jerusalem going to come down out of heaven. I got to be careful. The clock keeps going. And I get off on bunny trails today. I can't help myself. But when I think about the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, adorned like a bride, it excites me.
Yes.
And that comes to my mind, as many things do, when I think about renew. Renew is to make new. Have we ever felt His power? Have you felt God's power? Once you have encountered God, where the presence of God and the power of His Spirit has moved through you, there is nothing beyond that that will ever satisfy you like that. I long, every time I sense the move of God move in a great way in my life, I long for the next time. Because there's no replacement for it. It's so wonderful to have the presence of God just brood on you. I want to look at another scripture in Acts 17, verses 29 through 31. It looks like I'm going to go over just a few minutes. Is it okay with you guys? Good, because I can't quit. I got to unload the whole truck today. Acts 17, 29 through 31 says, "Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design or skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now He commands all people everywhere to repent. For He has set a day when He will judge the world with justice by the man He has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising Him from the dead." Okay, so who's this man that He appointed?
Jesus.
That's right, Jesus. Jesus. He commands all people everywhere to repent. Every person on this earth has to come to the place where they repent. True repentance is accompanied by godly sorrow. Without godly sorrow, there's no real repentance. So He commands all people everywhere to repent through all time. Because without repentance, there is only condemnation. Conviction leads us to repentance. When you leave here today, you're going to understand this, aren't you? Final scripture. I'm actually doing pretty good. It's straight up 11 right now. Praise God. I covered a lot of material today, guys. Revelation 20. It's almost the end of the book. Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. We'll end the message with this scripture. John says, he's the author of Revelation, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from its presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and the death and Hades, gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. And the lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Condemnation. At the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when we open ourselves up and give our lives to Christ and are born again, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's the book that it's talking about. And the other books are the books that have the recordings of everything that we have ever done in the body. Now you need to understand this too. This is talking about the great white throne. People who are born again will not be at the great white throne judgment. Only people who have rejected Christ will be at the great white throne judgment. And that's why the books are taken out that have all recorded of all of the stupid things all the unrighteous people have done in their whole life. Are you with me? And it'll all be exposed. Now you need to understand something. For the person that is a born-again believer in relationship with Jesus Christ, the only judgment they're going to stand in front of is the judgment seat of Christ. And that is not a judgment of salvation where anyone will be judged and sent to the lake of fire like we see here. The judgment seat of Christ is where people's deeds are judged and rewards are handed out for things done in the body. And all the stupid stuff we did is under the blood of Christ, and we are clothed with the robe of righteousness, and we no longer have to deal with all of what happens at the great white throne judgment. That's such good news, believers. So we are seeing that the Holy Spirit has a huge role. But Satan has sought to it that the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, has been neglected in a lot of churches and a lot of denominations. Not here. The Holy Spirit is going to have his reign here in this church. I believe he has been. For 18 years since we started this church. He's been having his reign. I always, as the shepherd of this flock, always try to just obey what God speaks. If he tells me to put my message away and open my Bible to a passage and just trust him and preach, you've been around here for a while, you've seen me do that many times. And because it's God's church. And I'm just the under-shepherd, and I just want the Holy Spirit to do whatever He wants to do. Because He knows what I'm doing. Most of the time, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just trying to follow God. Let's be honest. Most of you, most of the time, you don't know what you're doing, do you? We don't know from one minute to the next. Sometimes we're just winging it. Only do we truly know what we're doing is when we've heard from God and gotten marching orders from Him. Then I'm like a dog on a bone. If I heard from God and I got a message and I'm headed for the pulpit with it, and somebody comes up to me and says, "Hey, Pastor Wayne, I don't know, I'm just feeling like maybe you're not supposed to preach what you got with you," I rebuke you, Satan, get behind me. I've never had that happen. But that would be the answer if that's because I'm just going to do the best I can to try to obey what God's speaking. Because what He wants to speak to His people, that's what's important. It's why I always ask God to just take me over, take over my mouth, that I would only speak the words He's ordained. Every time before I preach, I've been doing that ever since I started lay preaching many years ago and doing evangelistic crusades and stuff, traveling. I have always done that because I don't want to be the one doing it. I just want God to do it. I just want to be a vessel. If you meet me and forget me, you've lost nothing. But if you meet Jesus and you forget Him, you have lost everything. I better quit now. It's 8 minutes after. We made it though, right? Give God a hand clap. Let's all stand together. Is there anyone here today that you've gotten convicted and you just know that today you need to get right with God? If that's you, just walk up here. I'll just wait a couple minutes. If that's you, and I'll pray with you, and I'll agree that today you start a relationship with Jesus Christ. Is there anyone today? So everybody here is a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, right? All right. Let's pray together. Father, I just speak blessing over everyone in this building right now. I pray Your protection. I thank You, Lord, for the conviction that You bring into our lives so that we repent and so that we're renewed. We are renewed by Your Spirit. Father, I pray for an awakening each and every day for each one of us. Lord, that You awaken us by the power of Your Spirit and that You direct us down the path of righteousness that You have for each one of us and Lord, also as a body of believers. I pray that You will protect us, keep us safe in our travels. And Lord, put a watch on our mouths that we speak pure things. And that, Lord, we speak things that build others up. And that, Lord, when You lead, we also will speak things that is a rebuke when someone needs that. Lord, what I'm saying is just use us as we leave this place and bring us back safely next weekend. Lord, as it's Pentecost weekend and we celebrate the outpouring of Your Spirit, we just pray in Jesus' name that You'll prepare us and that You will move mighty on us next week as we gather together in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. We love you.